Thank you, Lord, for this message. Thank you, Father, B'Shem Yeshua. Today, on the occasion of Jacob Faber's bar mitzvah, we heard Jacob's excellent drash about the quality of a leader he aspires to emulate and follow. I would like to probe the topic further by looking in depth at both leading and following as it is taught in the Bible. I have heard the maxim that one must be a good follower before one can be a good leader. It is true if one means being a leader under God, because one must be obedient to God, and in our case to Messiah Yeshua as well, before we can lead others to him and in him. Following men has proven dangerous and sometimes disastrous when they're the wrong kind of men. In Deuteronomy 13, verses 2 to 4, we read, "If a prophet or someone who gets a message while dreaming arises among you, and he gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder comes about as he predicted when he said, 'Let's follow other gods which you've not known, and let us serve them,' you are not to listen to what that prophet or dreamer says. For Adonai, your God, is testing you in order to find out whether you really do love Adonai, your God, with all your heart and being." And more recently, in Matthew 24, verses 4 to 5, Yeshua warns us, "Watch out. Don't let anyone fool you. For many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and they will lead many astray." I think we can all make the jump to our century and understand that the kinds of men to not follow are those who themselves are not followers of God, or at least do not proclaim principles that God has given us. But not following men at all is not the answer, because Scripture tells us that there are certain men who we are to follow. Consider, for example, Ephesians 6:1. It says, "Children, what you should do in union with the Lord is obey your parents, for this is right." And likewise, Colossians 3, verse 20 teaches, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." And Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 exhorts us, "My son, heed the discipline of your father, and do not abandon the teaching of your mother." So we are to obey our father and mother, whom we assume are godly parents. But Scripture says that there are others we are to obey as well. As starters, consider Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your lives as people who will have to render an account." So make it a task of joy for them, nor one of groaning, for that is of no advantage to you. In quoting that scripture, we understand it to be referring to congregational leaders such as elders, and we are confident in complying because to be an elder, one has to have attained the standards that Paul establishes in Titus chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, which says, "A leader," meaning an elder, "must be blameless, husband to one wife, with believing children who do not have a reputation for being wild or rebellious. For an overseer, as someone entrusted with God's affairs, must be blameless. He must not be self-willed or quick-tempered. He must not drink excessively. get into fights or be greedy for dishonest gain. On the contrary, he must be hospitable, devoted to good, sober-mindedness, uprightness, holiness, and self-control. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message that agrees with the doctrine, so that by his sound teaching, we will be able to exhort and encourage and also to refute those who speak against it. Likewise, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 to 7, Paul writes to Timothy, "A congregation leader must be above reproach. He must be faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, orderly, hospitable, and able to teach. He must not drink excessively or get into fights. Rather, he must be kind and gentle. He must not be a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, having children who obey him with all proper respect. For if a man can't manage his own household, how will he be able to care for God's messianic community? He must not be a new believer, because he might become puffed up with pride and thus fall under the same judgment as did the adversary. Further, he must be well regarded by outsiders, so that he won't fall into disgrace and into the adversary's trap." Similar qualifications are stipulated for Shamashim if we read further in verses 8 to 13. Now, all of this seems safe enough, but there is another scripture, Romans 13, verses 1 to 2, that is more challenging. It begins, "Everyone is to obey the governing authorities." Uh-oh, red lights going on. And as we continue, "For there is no authority that is not from God, and the existing authorities have been placed where they are by God." More red lights going on. How can that be? We know that there are governments and heads of governments that are downright evil. And the scriptures seem to get worse when it says, "Therefore, whoever resists the authorities is resisting what God has instituted, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." The resolution to these seemingly shocking pronouncements is found in Yeshua's words in Mark 12:17, where he says, "Give to the emperor what belongs to the emperor, and give to God what belongs to God." In other words, a person may be in a position of apparent authority, but because all real authority is from God, to the extent that a leader is not leading according to godly precepts, his or her apparent authority is no authority at all. And anything the leader directs that is against God and against the Bible should not be obeyed. That is the reason that Christianity is perceived to be a threat in atheistic nations such as China. The Chinese leaders know full well that their citizens who follow Yeshua will not follow the secular authorities if they lead in what is biblically wrong. And they know full well what is right and wrong, because as Romans 1, verses 19 to 20 states, "What is known about God is plain to them, since God has made it plain to them. For ever since the creation of the universe, his invisible qualities, both his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly seen, because they can be understood from what he has made, and therefore they have no excuse." This message is a follow-up on our Bar Mitzvah Jacob's drash on leading and following, and I want to recall something to which Jacob alluded. Jacob told us of his membership in and respect for the Civil Air Patrol, the CAP. And because I read his drash in advance, I had time to research the CAP's core values, and one of them caught my attention in the following statement: "You don't need to be a commander to be a leader. leadership from below is as important as leadership from above. Beginning with Moses, God gave the Israelites a series of commanders to lead their nation while always retaining himself as commander-in-chief. Commanders are leaders who lead through positions of authority, make decisions, and give orders. And that is what the CAP means by leading from above. We can trace the leaders of Israel from commander to commander. Moses, Joshua, David, the judges, and so on. God authorized that there be secondary commanders appointed as well. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 13 to 15, Moses spoke to the Israelites and said, "Pick for yourselves from each of your tribes men who are wise, understanding, and knowledgeable, and I will make them heads over you. You answered me, 'What you have said would be a good thing for us to do.' So I took the heads of your tribes, men wise and knowledgeable, and made them heads over you, leaders in charge of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens, and officers tribe by tribe." But then God did an amazing thing. He spoke to the Israelites through Jeremiah and said, "Here the days are coming, says Adonai, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day that I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they, for their part, violated my covenant, even though for my part I was a husband to them, says Adonai. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Adonai. I will put my Torah within them and write it in their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. And no longer will any of them teach his fellow community member or his brother, saying, 'Know Adonai.' For all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest, because I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." Israel had to wait for centuries to find out how that new covenant would unfold and exactly what it would contain. And over the years, they speculated according to their immediate needs. In bad times, they thought, "Perhaps God will send us a military leader like David to save us." And possibly influenced by Zechariah 9:9 and Psalms 22, they thought, "Perhaps God will send us a leader that is more like Joseph to save us." That is how the idea of two messiahs came about, a Messiah ben David and a Messiah ben Joseph, the first being a conquering savior and the other being a suffering servant. Well, we know that when Yeshua came, he came as a suffering servant, not as a military conquering hero. And his leadership method was not that of a commander, but that of a pastoral teacher, ministering through setting an example of humble servanthood. Although the CAP does not reference Scripture in its core values, that is what it means by leading from below. And by leadership from below is as important as leadership from above. Leadership from below is as important as leadership from above. The CAP has it right because, although not stated, its core value was lifted directly from Scripture. And here are verses of Scripture that prove it. In Mark 10, verses 44 to 45, Yeshua exhorts his disciples, "Whoever among you wants to be a leader must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become everyone's slave. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And in Titus chapter 2, verses 6 to 7, Paul instructs, similarly, urge the young men to be self-controlled and in everything set them an example yourself by doing what is good. When you are teaching, have integrity and be serious. And in 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 3, Peter instructs, therefore, I urge the congregation leaders among you as a fellow leader and witness to the Messiah's sufferings, as well as a sharer in the glory to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is in your care, exercising oversight, not out of constraint, but willingly, as God wants, and not out of a desire for dishonest gain, but with enthusiasm, also not as, and this complete Jewish Bible says machers, which is a Yiddish word, and in other translations it says, but not as lords, domineering over those in your care, but as people who become examples to the flock. And of course, in the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, we are able to lead by example because Yeshua himself showed us how. 1 Peter 2:21, indeed, this is what you were called to, because the Messiah too suffered on your behalf, leaving an example so that you should follow his steps. Jacob, today we celebrate your bar mitzvah. Not with an elaborate party, but by taking your first public steps as an adult of being an example to the congregation, by coming up to the Torah, reading from the scroll, and delivering your drash. There are many in this congregation who have never done that. And your example to them gives them confidence and hope that they can also. You are not yet an elder. You're not yet a shamash. And you're not yet a chavurah leader. But I hope that the scriptures I have quoted convince you that you are able to lead from below even now if you are led from above as Yeshua himself was. Remember in John 5:19, Yeshua said, I tell you that the Son cannot do anything of his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does too. But this is only the beginning, Jacob. From this day on, Ohev Yisrael will view you as an adult in its midst, having adult responsibilities. I have already moved your name and email address out from under your parents' listing to a place of your own, so that from now on you will directly and individually receive all of the congregational communications that the adult congregants of Ohev receive. Also, at this time, the men's group of Ohev Yisrael would like to extend you an invitation. Would Rick Diaz please come forward?
Well, first off, it's been a while since we've had a men's breakfast, so I took it upon myself, we're going to start again. And tentatively, the 19th of October, we'll be having our first men's breakfast at my house. That's the day after Simchat Torah, a Sunday. Tentatively, the time is 9 o'clock. I don't know, I have to talk to Ron and the others about the firm time. And the date may change, but that's the tentative date. Now that that's announced, you know, come all men come. There'll be green chili to go along with everything else, to include pancakes. And Caleb, since you are now included in our ranks, Jacob and Caleb can come if he's here. Jacob, you are welcome to bring your father. You can drive him now. He's given you permission to drive. Anyway, welcome.
Thank you. And also, a representative of Ohev Yisrael's Ozrim would like to extend you an invitation. So would Sherry Moore please come forward?
First of all, Jacob, very good job on a very long Torah portion. You did a great job. Yes, on behalf of the Ozrim teams, I would like you to be the newest member of the younger Ozrim team. Now, I see you look a little nervous. So I'm not asking you to, like, make a main dish and a dessert and to bring a drink also. But I am inviting you to help serve the Lord's Supper on the younger Ozrim team. Thank you.
Thank you. So now, Jacob, having received your certificate of bar mitzvah, your driver's license, your individual Ohev email listing, and your invitations to join Ohev's men's group and Ozrim, all that is left for us to do is send you forth with blessing. You already received the blessing of Aaron, and I will add the blessing of Psalms 121 to it. If you raise your eyes to the hills, from where will your help come? Your help comes from Adonai, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. Your guardian is not asleep. No, the guardian of Israel never slumbers or sleeps. Adonai is your guardian at your right hand. Adonai provides you with shade. The sun can't strike you during the day or even the moon at night. Adonai will guard you against all harm. He will guard your life. Adonai will guard your going out and your coming in from now on and forever. I pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Thank you, Lord.